Good evening, and thank you for joining us at epostle.net. This is a new project we're embarking on with the use of computers, getting the gospel message out to the world via the internet. We're here at St. Gregory the Illuminator Armenian Church in beautiful Pasadena, California, with Father Vasken Mosesyan. Hello, Father Vasken. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine, Tamar. It's good to see you, and want to welcome everybody on my behalf, too, to joining us here on this broadcast.
I'm so glad we could get together again to do another exciting evening of Bible study. And we have been getting a great response from our audience about these Bible studies. They love the fact that they can receive this spiritual information via the internet.
I think it's incredible when you think about just how quickly this information is being spread out. And you know, the church has always been on the forefront, in other words, in the cutting edge of technology. You know, when you think about how the disciples, they became the apostles, they took out the word in those early days, all throughout the Roman Empire, throughout the entire known world. Then when you think about the advent of the printing press, or even in our Armenian case, we invented an entire alphabet just for the sake of the spreading the gospel message. And here we are at the beginning of this 21st century, and how beautiful that we're doing something like this, using the internet, using technology to get out the gospel message, get the word of God out to the people throughout the world. And me too, I'm very encouraged by the response we've been getting.
Father Vasken, I thought since we're in the Lenten season, I was hoping we can talk about Lent today.
That's a good idea. Yeah, Lent is probably one of those misunderstood things, so why not? Let's make that our focus tonight.
So let's start by asking you if you could tell us a little bit about what is Lent.
Well, Lent is this period of time where we turn inward, where we start thinking about our lives, of who we are, where we came from, what we're doing with life, and where we're going, where we're headed. It's an opportunity for us to focus within, you know, just to take a break from all the difficulties in life, or let's say the fast-paced mechanism that life gives us so often. And Lent is just an opportunity to kind of wind down and get down to the bare essentials.
So can you tell us, how do we prepare for Lent?
Well, actually, we can't prepare for Lent, but what we can do is we can live out the Lenten cycle. Our church fathers have given us a basic recipe. In other words, to abstain from certain foods, to wind down and just see what's really essential in our lives, to kind of get a picture of what is really needed. When you think about Jesus fasting in the wilderness for 40 days, after 40 days he was tempted by Satan and said that, here, if you really are the Son of God, change these stones into bread. And Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that God speaks. And so here we are, kind of challenging ourselves to see what is really necessary. Do we need that bread in our lives? Or is there something greater, the real bread of life, which will give us total fulfillment forever, which of course is the Word of God?
So I guess this brings us to giving up meat and dairy. Is that a traditional thing that we do, or does it have a biblical backing?
Actually, the giving up of meat, think about it this way. We not only give up meat, but we give up all animal products. This includes dairy. This includes poultry. It includes fish. It's surprising. Many people don't think that fish and poultry are animals, chickens. Of course, we know better. They are animals. And we abstain from eating any of them, and as well as eating anything, any product that comes from animals, which is, of course, cheeses and milks and so on. The tradition goes back, and if you think about it, our forefathers were the ones who, those people who lived in the Caucasus and lived forever, 100, 150 years of age, and you wonder, how did they do it? Well, maybe they had a secret. You know, they kind of like ate well, but for 40 days they would abstain, kind of bring the cholesterol level down. Only today does modern medicine start accepting how important it is to abstain from these meats and these dairy products, from these saturated fats. Of course, we're getting into a nutrition lesson here, but the main reason we do it is because it brings life down to its bare essentials. What do we need to live? is that meat, that dairy product, important? One of our church fathers, I guess, put it very nicely, is Chaim Heydrich. He was one of the very loved patriarchs of our church, and he said it very nicely. When somebody asked him, is it okay to eat meat during Lent? He said, yes, eat meat, but don't eat each other's meat. Of course, this sounds a lot better in Armenian. Miskerek idaru mismiudek. But the entire idea is that it's okay to eat meat, but even more important than not eating meat is not eating each other. In other words, not antagonizing one another, not being mean to one another, not being rude to one another. In other words, taking care of one another. The outward expression is more important than what comes into your body, which of course goes back to Jesus' message that it's the heart that has to speak. Something that comes out of your mouth is far more important than what goes into your mouth.
So basically we need to be at peace with ourselves and with our friends and neighbors.
To me, that's even the bigger message. That's the message of Lent. That's the whole message of the Christian church, is to be able to love one another and to respect one another. And to me, that's far more important, as I believe and I know that it was for Jesus, than the fact of going out there and pretending that we are Christians by a name that we associate with, by saying we're Christian. Those things, I think, when it comes down to it, God really doesn't care as much as He cares about us being able to show the love and respect for one another.
So just to clear this up a little bit, going back to what Chaim Heydrich had said, with giving up meat and the dairy. So basically, if someone gave up, let's say, something they enjoyed, whether it was chocolate or watching TV, that should be okay?
Yeah, of course it's okay. You know what it is? It's the idea of kind of giving up something, making sure that you can separate yourself from everyday life. We overindulge, especially in America, we overindulge on all of life's goodnesses. Isn't it great that we can put aside like 40 days where we sort of kick back and say, what is really essential? Do we need those chocolates? Do we need that excessive TV watching? Do we need the video games, which a lot of our youngsters are trying to stay away from? In other words, what is really essential? And so I think more important than trying to base it on a formula of saying you got to stay away from meat, every faithful should try to stay away from something and try to do it as much as they can to the best of their ability, trying to bring down life to its bare essentials.
Father Voskin, I've noticed that during this season of Lent, we celebrate Mass with the curtains drawn, and we don't receive the Holy Eucharist. Why is this? Do we not need the body and blood to give us strength during this time?
Very good question. That's a very good one, and one that we're always asked about. It's kind of unusual. You walk into church, and there it is. There's the curtain drawn. And the whole focus of our church, of course, is behind that curtain. That curtain is the symbol of sin. During Lent, we are reminded that there is sin in this world, that we are separated from God, from seeing the fullness of God because of our sin. Sin is nothing dark and evil like many people think. It is just the imperfection that we as man have. We as humans possess this imperfection just by virtue of being human. So think of that curtain being there as a symbol. As much of anything else in our churches, they are symbols to remind us of something bigger. That curtain is drawn to remind us that we cannot see God, that we are not in communion with God. In other words, cannot receive the Holy Eucharist, the communion during the Lenten time, because of our sin. In other words, going back to our dietary practices and the whole nature of Lent, trying to find what is important in our lives and what prevents us from being full citizens of God's kingdom. In other words, to enjoy God's fullness, splendor right now in the here and now. And certainly certainly sin is that obstacle which stands in our way. So yes, we do need the Holy Eucharist. During Lent, we stay away from it In other words, trying to practice and imagine a life where we were without Christ. And of course, absence makes the heart grow fonder, as we know from Love 101. And so here we are looking at the Eucharist over there and realizing we cannot partake. Then, of course, on Palm Sunday when the curtain opens, and once again we are able to participate in the body and blood in the big celebration, how much more splendid that that Eucharist becomes in our lives.
Wow, that's really great. I've also noticed that during Wednesday evenings we've been having a special service, Huskum, and on Sundays after the Divine Liturgy we do Arevakal. What are these services and why do we do them?
Well, let me just say that the Wednesday evenings is something unique here at our parish in Pasadena. It could be any night of the week. During Lent, we do these services because, unfortunately, here in America, we don't have an opportunity to see them at other times of the year. So we kind of think it's convenient during Lent to do whether it's Huskum or the Arevakal. If you go down to the monasteries, to Etchmiadzin, to Jerusalem, to Antilias, or to Bolis, Istanbul, you'll find that these services are done more regularly. Huskum, Arevakal, these are part of the 7 hours of the church. The church has 7 unique hours of worship. We begin with Kisharayin, in other words, night hour services, going on into Aravodyan, morning services, Arevakal, which is the sunrise service. And then the Huskum service is really the late hour services, the peace hour, the rest hour services. Altogether, we have 7 hours of worship, which correspond to the 24-hour clock where we would worship God at these hours. Again, here in America, because we don't have an opportunity the rest of the year, we've conveniently placed the Huskum and the Arevakal during Lent so that people will have a taste of these very rich services that our church offers.
I've heard you mention the golden chain of Lenten Sundays. What does the golden chain mean?
Ah, the golden chain. You know, I don't know who coined that phrase. I do believe it was the late patriarch Archbishop Schnork Kalustian, who we should stand when we are saying his name, because he is truly one of the saints of our church, one of the modern day saints. He was the patriarch of Istanbul. But in one of his writings, he does suggest that how each of the Sundays of Lent are uniquely tied as a golden chain. In other words, each Sunday is one link on that chain, beginning with Pun Paragentan, which is the Mardi Gras of the Armenian Church, and going all the way to Easter Sunday, which is the culmination of the Lenten season and, of course, Holy Week. So each of these Sundays has a unique character to it, whether it's the Sunday of the prodigal, whether the Sunday of the steward or the judge or Advent. Each of these Sundays acts as one more golden link, combining, making together, all together, this golden chain.
Is there anything else we need to know about this Lenten season? Did I miss out on anything?
I think you covered them all very well. You've asked some great questions. Most important of all is, I think, going back to not so much as what is our practice of abstaining, but what is our practice of doing. You can abstain from all kinds of things. More important for Christ is, what are you doing today to make His kingdom real in your lives and in the lives of the ones you love? So Lent is an opportunity for us to really reach out and make His love, God's love, Jesus Christ's love, real in this world through our lives and through our actions.
Now, coming to Holy Week, this starts right after Palm Sunday, is that correct?
Holy Week begins with Palm Sunday. Actually, the night before Palm Sunday, we open the curtain with the raising of Lazarus service, Our Holy Week in the Armenian Church corresponds exactly to the last days of Christ here on earth. So we begin with the raising of Lazarus. Just before he went into Jerusalem, he raised his good friend Lazarus from the dead, and then he walked triumphantly into Palm Sunday. And we in the Armenian Church not only remember it, but we live through that final week with Christ.
So it's basically the passion of Christ, and I think we have special services that week. Can you tell us a little bit about services?
Exactly. The Passion of Christ is where it all begins. We go through Palm Sunday with the children's services. We have the service of the Ten Maidens on Tuesday evening. Traditionally, on Monday evening, we wash down the Holy Altar. On Thursday, we have the institution of the Last Supper, of the Eucharist, excuse me, with the remembrance of the Last Supper. That's on Holy Thursday. And then probably a very unique service, which is unique to the Armenian Church, and that is Chavarum, the Order of Darkness, where we would imagine a world without Christ. And we read the Passion narratives, and slowly the lights in the church dim to the point where we do not have any light. So you can imagine what life would be like in the absence of God. And on Friday we have the burial of Christ, where we actually construct a tomb. People walk underneath it. And then on Saturday evening we have the Easter Eve services, and it all culminates on Easter morning with the beautiful resurrection service and that message that Christ has been resurrected from the dead.
Father Vasquez, on Easter Sunday, do we celebrate Easter Sunday liturgy, our Badarak? Is it any different than our regular Badaraks?
It's the Badarak is Badarak. Remember that our Badarak, or the Divine Liturgy, is the celebration of the resurrection. And that resurrection is always. It is not only on Easter Sunday, but it is every Sunday. So in that sense, it is not very different. However, there are some variables in some of the hymns that we sing. And in that way, Easter Sunday does differ from other Sundays. But this Easter is going to be very special. Especially for our listeners who are following us on the internet, we are going to be broadcasting live.
Wow.
That is the first time in history that the Holy Badarak will be broadcast live via the internet. And because we are on the West Coast, the rest of the world will be able to follow throughout the day. We'll be starting at broadcasting at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we invite everybody to join us. Our signal will be changed just a bit. They could join us at www.badarak.com. And just enjoy a beautiful Resurrection Day this Easter 2000.
So this basically wraps it up for us. And thank you again, Father Vasquez, for taking this time and making these Bible studies possible for our listeners.
Well, thank you, Tamar. It's a pleasure being here, and I just really enjoy and thank God for this beautiful blessing of expanding our ministry out through the internet. So thank you to all our listeners as well.
I'd like to also thank all our listeners online. We hope you have enjoyed our broadcast. Please email us at saint_gregory@excite.com. Let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Also, remember, if there's a specific topic you'd like to get more information on, let us know. Email us. Until next time, for myself and for our producer, Talin Kazanjian, behind the scenes, this is Tamar Papirian. May God bless you. I'm